I know you're into Ancestry. Have you gotten into the fun game of which of my family members' relationships were not fun and inappropriate? Because that's not a fun game to play.
No, like on a family I don't trip. Play that on Ancestry. I just look for hints about who is, am I related to Chaucer? Great.
I it's a little bingo game. Nice night. We've had dinner. I'd like to queue up the tree. And I'm like, let's look for a fun name. And, you know, sometimes you get like a 22 and a 21. Sometimes you get a 37 and a 14. And it's just not fun to know. It's not.
It's not fun to know.
Also, Ancestry, not a sponsor. Just letting y'all know
but
that.
But we would be open to that. If we need to find out who of our grandfathers married 12-year-olds, we'd do it. We'd look it up.
Find out which of your family members might have been a pedophile with Ancestry. So, that's free ad, Ancestry. Just get back to us. Hello and welcome to episode number 509 of the podcast. I'm one of your hosts, Knox McCoy.
And I'm your other host, Jamie Golden.
The podcast is a show dedicated to delightful idiocy, and we're committed to educating you on things that entertain but do not matter.
To find out more about these bounteous pursuits, check us out at knoxandjamie.com. You can also find us on Instagram and Facebook at The Podcast, and we're on Twitter at PodcastPod.
Thanks for joining us this week as we are going to be talking the latest in pop culture news.
But before we do that, as you may have heard, our two podcast live shows are coming up in less than 3 short months, and we're celebrating 10 years of the podcast this year. Since that is a very special birthday, we have a fun, time-sensitive birthday present you can buy for yourself, which is merch. This exclusive t-shirt, embroidered sweatshirt, enamel pen, and sticker pack will only be for pre-sale today through Friday, July 7th. Take a gander at these pretty dope creations, I would say, at knoxandjamie.com/live. Also, if you are a BFOTS, there is a 20% off coupon waiting for you in Patreon. Now, we're less than, again, like I said, 3 short months away from hitting the road in September for the podcast live. Our hope is that you're already one of the almost 3,000 folks who are planning to be with us in person at either Austin on September 2nd or Atlanta on September 30th. If not, join us. There are still great seats available if you can't be with us in person, or maybe you're just not into wearing pants when you're outdoors, but you do want to experience a live show. We do have a pants required for the show, but you can get the live stream ticket option for Saturday, September 2nd. Everything you need to know about the live shows, including this merch pre-order, is found at knoxandjamie.com/live. The link is in the show notes.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Okay, Jamie, it's time to do The More You Know.
The More You Know.
As always, these The More You Know episodes are what we do on the regular for our Patreon supporters. It's I'm sure we've explained this to people before, but every Monday we do the episode, and then right after the episode we do The More You Know. So it's a little punchy. It's a little loosey-goosey. Sometimes there's breaking news. things we know about. Sometimes there's breaking news things we don't know about, and we don't comment on it. So that's not very helpful. But it's all rolled in together. So if you like the sound and the tone and the vibe of this episode, make sure to join us at patreon.com. Jamie, do you want to do a ask a personal question first?
I do. And you're going to love the one I chose. This comes from Natalie Dion, who said, Jamie, what is your sun, moon, and rising in fictional characters in movie and TV?
This is tricky because it's like it's a B-fots, right? Like so I feel like I have to honor them, and just even though this is on the free feed and the policy has been for the clown music, I feel like we gotta let it ride. Aaron, like, do you want to weigh in on a ruling here? Do you have a partiality here?
I think it should stand.
Oh, okay, but what should stand?
The you should let her
do my thing.
Yeah, do your thing.
Okay,
you've already gone to the concert, Aaron, so I don't know why you still got to suck up.
I know.
That's because there could be future gatherings. She does. Sure. Listen, sure. Okay, so Knox, when someone says, what is your sun, moon, and rising, what do you think those things mean?
God, man, I don't know. I like, well, first of all, I hear sun, Neil, and rising, so I don't even understand the vocabulary right now. You know what
so
I mean?
So sun, your sun sign is really your birth sign. So you are a Sagittarius, right?
Why don't they just say birth sign then? Why do they say sun sign?
Well, because it's your sun. It's connected to the sun. It's your sun sign. So it represents your ego and your motivation. And then the moon governs your emotional nature, as the moon itself does with the tides and such. And then the ascendant or rising sign speaks to the energy that we put into the world.
You know what this feels like? Have you ever played with a like tea time with a kid, and they're explaining all the arbitrary rules, and like, this is chocolate day, and you can only drink from the fountain if you're whatever? That's what this feels like right now. That's what it feels like.
You know what? It sounds like a good time to me. So Natalie, I'm going to honor you with this. So my son, my ego and motivation, I am a Tina Belcher son on a Leslie Knope cusp with a Karen Walker moon and a Blanche Devereaux rising. Do you get it? I don't, honestly.
But in theory and spirit, I feel like I do
get
it.
So I would like to hear other listeners, like, what are the fictional characters that you feel like are your sun, moon, and rising? And in the post on Wednesday on Instagram, y'all can share yours, because I think that's super fun.
Out yourself as just bozos out in the wild. Let us all know who the bozo
is. Listen, it's the summer of bozo. That's what
embrace your bozo.
Yeah,
embrace your inner bozo. I like it. My ask a personal question is, a couple people asked what I thought of the concert I went to this weekend. Ashley and I went to St. Louis to see Tyler Childers at the Hollywood Casino Amphitheater. This is, I've been trying to get tickets for, I think, around 2 years, and I haven't been able to. He doesn't do a lot of shows, so they sell really fast. I was actually on my way to Birmingham when these went on sale, so I stopped at a Burger King. It's the only time Burger King's ever been useful to me. Stopped at a Burger King parking lot,
I waited.
I got into the queue. They didn't help me. I didn't use their Wi-Fi, just to be clear, and I didn't eat there.
No, but it was
just
Mojo. The place I stopped. It's Mojo.
Maybe it was. But I did. I was able to get a couple of tickets for Ashley and I. We actually ended up going with a group of friends. One of the friends is, we were talking about this weekend, is Marika Stumm, who she is one of the eight people who began supporting us on Patreon on day one, July 22nd, 2015. And still almost 8 years later, she's still supporting us on
Look
Patreon.
Look at that. So. And her name's Marika. That's the beauty of it. Like, that's patriotism.
Like the country, but cooler, you know, but like not problematic.
Yeah, that's right.
So we didn't all sit together because it was such a scramble to get tickets, but the weather was incredible. It was like, you know, it was like, I don't know, 75, but the amphitheater was outdoors. So I was like, honestly, when I bought the tickets, I was like, I think we might have to stand. I don't know if we even get to see the stage. No. We might have to rent lawn chairs. I didn't know anything about it. I was just like, I'm just going to be there and we'll figure it out later. But we were undercover. They had these giant fans going. So it was like 61. It was beautiful.
That's dreamy.
It was incredible. His set was so good. You know, some, like, you can get a bad group of people around you and they just really ruin like the whole performance.
I think that's what me and Aaron were at the Taylor Swift concert.
No, enthusiasm was infectious. And like, everyone around us was like just super happy to be there. No one was belligerently drunk and everything. And I realized why I like concerts. And it's because I'm a little, I've got a little PTSD from going to sporting events. And sometimes it's 50-50. Like, I want something to happen and the person next to me wants the complete opposite thing to happen. It could even be like 90-10. But even that, like, difference of this person wants me to suffer emotionally and I want them to suffer emotionally.
Yeah.
That's a dynamic. But when everyone's just there happy to be seeing the person, I really actually enjoyed that a lot. So it was really nice.
Oh, well, I'm so glad you went, because you love him. You would recommend like his albums, right? Like you.
Oh, his albums. I don't know if, because this was Can I Take My Hounds to Heaven, I guess, tour. I don't know if I ever greenlit that actual tour. It's a very bluegrassy country kind of gospel infused album. So it's not for everybody, I would say, but it's definitely for me and everybody who was there in St. Louis. So now, well, casino culture, because we did have to stay at a casino. That's a whole nother conversation. That's
you
a
go,
wild
did you
lifestyle.
Go gambling, because you're a gambler by nature. That seems like you would fit right in.
Well, we ended up talking about this. I don't like, I'm more of the, I need to feel like there's some skill in it. So I can delude myself into saying I affected it.
Oh,
when
okay.
It's pressing a button and breathing in the smoke of the people around you, there doesn't feel like there's a lot of
skill. Oh, so there, this wasn't like a table casino where you could play.
There were some of those, but I was not about that life. I pressed a couple buttons, lost all my money, you know.
Oh.
Like have you ever been to a casino and like done?
Listen, I took my parents to the Grand Canyon and then we went to Las Vegas where my mother specifically asked you, because she didn't know what they were. She wanted to see the Thunder Down Under because she saw a flyer for it as we were walking around the strip. And I was like, Mom, that is nudity. And she was like, so no? And I was like, wow, get that.
So hard. So it's a hard no? Yeah, it's still no?
Listen, but she was so cute. She and my dad both wanted, what's casino money called?
Well, if you're playing a table, they're like chips. Like,
chips. Yeah. So you can tell I've only been the one time.
Yeah, and big gambler over here.
Right. And they wanted, so we traded in money for chip, literally one chip each. So we still have those little chips.
Look at y'all. See, I left with 10 cents out of $20.
Oh,
that took about 3 minutes, you know. So as it turns out, not a big gambler over here. But overall, it was an incredible weekend. So thanks to everybody who reached out and checked in on that. Let's go ahead and do our first segment here. Let's do overrated, underrated, properly rated. Jamie, and I want to talk to you about Jennifer Lawrence because she's kind of out and about. She's in the soon-to-be-released No Hard Feelings. She's doing press. So everyone's getting that dose of Jennifer Lawrence right now.
Listen, and I think it's the thing that she is underrated at, or maybe she's properly rated now, is her interview skills. She is a good time. So here's what I would say. Jennifer Lawrence as a whole, career launch, her 20s, properly rated. And why I say properly rated is that she, in 5 years, got 4 Oscar nominations.
Yeah.
And won an Oscar. That's a amazing run in your 20s, right? And then I would say after that, from 2016 until now, was overrated. Like now I know you loved Mother, but Passengers.
Don't say it like that. Don't say it condescending like that.
I'm sorry. I meant to say Mother!
Mother! Exclamation point. That's how we talk about that movie. Yeah.
Yeah. But Passengers, Red Sparrow, the horror that was Dark Phoenix, Don't Look Up, which was fine. Do you
I
know
liked
what I mean?
It. I was into it.
Right. And so I'm just saying that felt like, oh, that's a lot. And there's not one like movie in that list where you go, oh, yeah, still an Oscar winner. No, none of those are like, man, she is bringing an Oscar performance to each of these.
You're not wrong. I think my theory of her is that she's so intensely likable that it almost makes the bad movies. I don't really care because I like her so much.
Oh, yeah, that's fair.
And I'm rooting for her so much. And her, it's like she does the interview with E! News that I watched, and she didn't go to prom. She was bullied in high school, just like the rest of the stars. They're just like us. They get bullied. The one, what she talked about was there was a birthday party by like the resident mean girl in her grade. And so the resident mean girl had invitations, and she was like, Jennifer, will you please pass these out to everyone? But Jennifer didn't get an invitation, which is honestly elite level mean girling. I'm not saying we should bully each other, but if you are going to bully, at least be a predator. You know what I mean? Like be high level emotional
assassin.
I hope
that girl now is working hard on her Instagram, trying to let people know about local workout places while she watches this woman get nominated for 4 Oscars. Like,
I hope she's on the crew of The Idol who has to wipe up all the body fluids after each take. Because that's a big job.
Yeah,
that's a big job.
So, but listen, she had a kid last year. Mm-hmm. And listen, I'm going to say underrated because she never talks about that kid named Sai. Aaron's youngest son is named Sai. And she never talks about him. And I love that. I love when actors are not like, now I'm a parent, so I'm a better person now. Okay, we get it. You're not a better person.
Just kid's not interesting yet. Not like Jennifer Lawrence. Jennifer Lawrence is still very interesting. I think that I like what she's got coming up. Like, if you check her out, her IMDb, and I think it was probably smart to go away and to, you know, let the heat die down, because it almost had tilted to, you know, Jennifer Lawrence is so likable and so relatable. Is Jennifer Lawrence too likable and too relatable?
Right.
And when that happens, you got to disappear for a little bit. I think she did that incredibly well. And I think even across, like, you kind of hit on some of her performances. I think overrated in the X-Men movies probably, but that's a career choice. Underrated in Mother! Exclamation point. I'll die on that hill. I will die a brutal, grisly intestinals out of my stomach death. Honestly, I'd almost say underrated on Silver Linings Playbook. Because she's so freaking good in that movie.
She's amazing.
I feel like we forget.
Well,
how good she
got
she
an
is.
Oscar. She got an Oscar nomination for
She
that.
Should have gotten a 1.5.
Not only did she get an Oscar nomination, she won that Oscar. That's what she won her Oscar for.
But I think they should have been like, it was so good. Here's a third of another
they
one.
They should have renamed the Oscars the Jennifers.
That's right.
Because
that's
of
right.
Her performance.
Steal Listen, it. It should be rolling over. You steal it from one woman who didn't quite earn it, and she got maybe 0.75, and then Jennifer should get that 0.25.
Listen, can I tell you, I'm interested in this group of women, these early 30s women, because listen to the women that are all within 18 months of each other, like in their age. Emma Stone, Jennifer Lawrence, Margot Robbie, Ana de Armas, Brie Larson, Zoe Kravitz, Dakota Johnson, Kristen Stewart. Those are all the women competing for the same roles all the time. Can you
it's
imagine?
It's a great group. How much money did you accept from Brie Larson's representation to include her in that group?
How dare you? She
you do have
Oscar.
To disclose those things,
Listen, she won
Jamie.
An Oscar. What has Ana de Armas won? Not an Oscar, but Brie Larson's won an Oscar.
She's won America's Heart, and Brie Larson is currently pushing
Hyundai's
or whatever, Nissan Versas.
Listen, everybody deserves to get paid occasionally. Look, but I will say, just as a sidebar, because Emma Stone and Jennifer Lawrence are famously really good friends, and I like that they have not really had to step on each other's toes, although they did compete against each other early in their career.
That's right.
But I read, do you know a movie coming up in Emma Stone? This is not even related to Jennifer Lawrence. Emma Stone has a movie called The Curse that's coming out next year. Listen to this. Genre-bending scripted comedy that explores how an alleged curse disturbs the relationship of a newly married couple as they try to conceive a child while also co-starring on their problematic new HGTV show.
What are you saying?
And guess who wrote it? Guess who wrote it? Nathan Fielder.
Oh my gosh.
Can you imagine?
I am all in on that.
I'm all in on that. Are you kidding me? So.
That's incredible. So I'm landing on... I'm leaning on underrated. I think we're in that Jennifer Lawrence's, her son and Moon Rising is underrated, I believe, to borrow your language.
Oh, look at that. Yeah. So I would say underrated, but it really the deal breaker is going to be this movie. Like, no hard feelings. I saw a new clip that I liked even more because frat boys pushed back on her because she was like, why don't you just F each other? And he's like, are you saying that's an insult? That if we F'd each other, that would be bad? I liked it so much. So I'm hopeful. I'm hopeful.
Okay, so let's be big boys and big girls here, and let's push all of our chips in. Is that movie, No Hard Feelings, going to be good, or is it going to be bad?
I think it's, and there are no reviews, you guys. This did not go to a film festival. Mm-hmm. It did get moved a week.
This is where podcast instincts, this is where it comes into play here.
I'm going to say it's going to be good. It's going to be good. I'm going to go in faithful.
What do you think about a movie that you probably weren't listening to us talk about? You definitely haven't seen the trailer. And you probably don't even understand the concept based on the title. Do you think it's going to be good or bad?
Just really quickly.
No, don't. Just make her go. Okay. Make her go.
Jennifer Lawrence is
a natural
comedy film.
Yeah, I'm in.
Again.
I love it.
What do you mean?
Jamie, if you would have explained the concept, you still would have gotten that answer. I just saved you some time.
That's true.
You
know? That's correct.
That's true.
I'm all in on this. I'm all in on Barbie. I'm all in on this. And I'm all in on Oppenheimer. Probably being good and frustrating and way too long, but I'm still going to like it. I know those things are true.
I'm going to love it. Yeah, exactly.
Every time they show that trailer on TV and my son sees Jennifer Lawrence get punched in the throat and she goes like, bah! Like he always laughs 100% of the time. That's a good sign. Okay.
That is a good sign.
Okay. Overrated, underrated, probably rated. The Weeknd. The Weeknd, the artist. Not the form of time that we all like, The Weeknd.
Listen, The Weeknd, who now does not go by The Weeknd.
I know.
He goes by Abel Tesfaye. So Abel, which I just kind of love that his name's Abel. I don't know why I like that. And he's Canadian.
Like,
you know what
okay.
I mean?
Okay. Like one of the brothers that got killed. Like you like that it's like for that reason or just like the name Abel?
Yeah. I just like the name Abel.
Okay.
My handyman's name is Abel, so I like it. It's a good name. And Abel, he is known, you know, professionally as The Weeknd, Canadian singer-songwriter. He has won 4 Grammys, 20 Billboard Music Awards. He's been nominated for an Oscar, nominated for an Emmy. Did have that really problematic song, Lost in the Fire, not great. Anyway.
What made it problematic? I'm not familiar with his discography.
I'm going to read the lyric. You said he's talking to a woman that he is interested in sexually.
Okay.
And he said, you might be into... I think The Weeknd as a... Like, The Weeknd is actually underrated simply because of that Daniel Craig clip on SNL where he says, and now...
And now The Weeknd, everyone.
And listen, did you know that that Twitter account called Craig Weeknd, where that's all they post every Friday, is that clip? It has almost 600,000 followers on Twitter.
I think it's like one of the last ones I followed when I was still like, I should follow accounts like on Twitter. I did follow. Yeah,
exactly. So I would say that's underrated. I think his singing is underrated. I was looking at his touring. Guess which of these artists he opened for? I'm going to give you three artists. You tell me which one do you think he opened for.
Okay.
Florence and the Machine, Justin Timberlake, Drake.
Okay. Just note for the audio, the way you said Justin Timberlake, like you were unsure of the thing that you had prepared, makes me think it's not Justin Timberlake. Although you could be putting me on, so I don't know.
What do you
think? And honestly, it's distracted me so much, I didn't even hear the third one. Because I was like, why did she do that?
Drake!
Okay, that's the obvious one. I feel like it's Florence and the Machines.
It's all three. He's open for all three.
You jerk.
You're such a sucker.
Freaking Daniel Day-Lewis actress jerk.
I've learned from Aaron. So to me, and I love his music, I do think even his weird Super Bowl show that he had to pay $7 million of his own money because the NFL was like, no, we're not doing that.
Yeah.
And he was like, I'll pay it out of my own pocket. I think his singing is underrated. His dating life. He dated Bella Hadid. Was she a smidge young? Yes.
Okay.
But Bella Hadid for 5 years, Selena Gomez for a year. I think that's underrated.
What does a smidge young mean in this context?
18?
Yeah, okay. That is a smidge young. You know, it's not legally young, like too young.
Legally young. I don't know what Canada does with that. But Bella, you know, and Bella Hadid has, you know, she's, anyway.
18 feels like the halfway house between like, you're technically free, but you shouldn't be, you know, like walk you into adulthood.
TikTok reminded me that that Dakota Johnson, who we previously mentioned, her parents are Melanie Griffith, actress, and Don Johnson. Don Johnson was in his mid-20s and Melanie Griffith was 14 when they started dating.
Okay. I know you're into Ancestry. Have you gotten into the fun game of which of my family members' relationships were not fun and inappropriate? Because that's not a fun game to play.
No, like on a family trip. Play that on Ancestry. I just look for hints about who is, am I related to Chaucer? Great.
You know, it's a little bingo game. Nice night. We've had dinner. I'd like to queue up the tree. And I'm like, let's look for a fun name. When did he marry his wife? And, you know, sometimes you get like a 22 and a 21. Sometimes you get a 37 and a 14. And it's just not fun to know. It's not.
It's not fun to know.
Also, Ancestry, not a sponsor. Just letting y'all know
but
that.
But we would be open to that. If we need to find out who of our grandfathers married 12-year-olds, we'd do it. We'd look it up.
Find out which of your family members might have been a pedophile with Ancestry. That's free ad, Ancestry. Just get back to us.
So as for Abel, I do think I say underrated all across the board until we get to the acting. As I've now submitted to a second episode of The Idol.
Yeah.
No, thank you.
Okay.
No, thank you.
The thing with his music is every song sounds the same to me. And I'm saying that as someone with a very unsophisticated musical ear, but it does feel like I'm always like, is this Blinding Lights or is this the one about his face and how he can't feel it with you? They all kind of sound remarkably similar to me. So I don't know.
He does have a vibe. That is true.
There's not a sonic diversity that I would probably opt for. I think it's super annoying that he changed his name. That's just like, I just have to factor that. That's
you know,
my...
I think he was like, I'm an actor now. I'm a producer. I can't be starring The Weeknd.
I think we'll let you know when you're an actor, bud. And I'm not seeing it right now. Aaron, no. When were you when you realized The Weeknd, his name was spelled without the third E? Or is it now? Is it right now in this moment?
It is now.
It is now. It was like 3 hours away ago for me, just for context. I was like,
I guess it's
not the weekend.
Two E's?
Yeah, he doesn't have the end.
It's weekend, you know?
Weekend. It's a more phonetic vibe. Okay. But he does not go by that anymore. He goes by Abel Tesfaye.
Okay, yeah, good job, evidently, Abel.
It was a trademark issue but with the band The Weeknd.
That's a different entity?
Evidently, it's pop rock, The Weeknd. Yeah.
There's a band called The Weeknd, and then this is also The Weeknd, formerly known, or Abel, formerly known as The Weeknd.
That's right.
He wanted to be named, his name is after the brother that got killed.
But I don't think you're like, hey, should we make out to Abel tonight? Like, I don't think that's going to work. You know what I mean?
I don't think it will either. I think that's a problem. He's Canadian. And I haven't seen him do anything to fix those wildfires, so that's not great. I would also, when he did the stunt, when his face was bandaged, and he was like, this is a commentary on how people change their appearance for validation. That's annoying. You know, that's just like, write a Substack and be annoying like everybody else. Don't do that visually. I do think he's got great taste in collaborators, though. Like, he was in Uncut Gems, kind of, with the Safdie Brothers.
Yeah.
Sam Levinson, Say What You Want. Again, probably future canceled. I think, you know, you brought up the idol. I think you can really tell on this show, because we watched it as well, and I fell asleep during, I guess, what is presumably the sexy part of it, which tells you a little bit about me,
it
your boy.
It is not sexy. I think they think they're making something sexy, and I'm watching it going, this is just like, there's too many. I was like, this is not sexy. It's just not sexy.
Listen, just because you hold like ice next to your crotch, that doesn't make it sexy. I have a cold Propel. If I put it in my crotch, is that sexy? I don't think it is. But Sam Levinson would have us believe that it is. I think you can definitely tell, because I read or listened to a little bit about The Weeknd wanted to work with Sam Levinson and wanted to be like a super supporting aspect of the show. And then he got the script and he was like, actually, I want to be like one of the main parts of the show. So they ripped it up and started over. I think you can tell, because the part of the show with all the reps and the agents, that's fascinating to me. And I always pay attention to that. When the Weeknd and his rat tail get involved, that's when I start to fall asleep. And it's really not interesting to
me. We've said that. I think we said that in The More You Know when we did the recap of the pilot, that we like the minutia of Hollywood.
Yeah.
We do not like the pulling of hair. Listen, did you see Chloe Fineman's impression of it?
Look, that I'm glad you brought that up.
We'll put it in the show notes.
Like, I can't disentangle what I think is the show versus what I imagine Chloe Fineman doing from the show.
Listen, the best part of Chloe Fineman's impression of that first episode is that she takes a bra of her own and she just wears it backwards, because that's how much of her nipple is covered. Because that is what. And the best part was Abel and Lily Rose Depp both commented on the post and were like, your makeup looks fire. Like, you look amazing.
It's a really good.
And she did look impression. She looks exactly like Lily Rose Depp. Like, it is stunning how much she
really
looks
does.
Like. It really does. So.
One of the big losses of the writer's strike, it's not losing SNL, it's losing Chloe Fineman on SNL to me right now.
100%.
You know?
Yeah.
Okay, so The Weeknd / Abel, overrated, underrated, properly rated?
Overrated. Because right now he's not making music. So I don't have, like, all I've got is him, you know, putting icy stuff on, icy hot on someone's Pikachu, and I don't like that.
You know, I'm going to sit at proper. And then I'm going to do some diligence and some research and find out what he's doing about those wildfires. And if he's working them, I'm going to say under. If he's not, I'm going to say over. Okay. So
you
those
think,
are the stakes.
You think
Abel
is putting, he's a volunteer firefighter in Canada.
Listen, maybe let's
my
organize,
mother said,
you know?
My mother said at Sunday lunch that the reason these fires are happening is because Canada doesn't have enough money for firefighters, because they're paying for health care.
Wow.
Then she got mad at her dentist because he wouldn't cover her root canal. And I was like, Mom, you can't have it both ways. This is a logical way to think.
I love it. I think at a certain age, you get grouchy at new people and you get grouchy at Canadians for their health care.
Oh, she is grouchy about Canada. Just so
love it.
You know. Yeah.
It's a consistency that I really appreciate. Okay, let's do cable news. Overrated, underrated, properly rated.
We don't have to talk about it at all. No, let's just overrated.
Well, here's the interesting part. So we're at a really interesting crossroads, right? Because you've got Tucker Carlson shrieking his tiny pee-pee television program straight from the gates of Twitter. Chris Licht was fired from CNN for one of the most disastrous profiles ever written. where he does like deadlifts and curls. And he's like, do you think Jeff Zucker could do this? Which is just incredible alpha so level weird. Moves. And he also kind of broke CNN in the process, which is also interesting.
Which again, I blame David Zaslav for, because yes. David Zaslav was like, again, we are not, I don't think we're, the PMG is pro David Zaslav, right?
No, I don't think so. No.
And this is, guys, this is the head of Warner Brothers Discovery that now makes us watch things on Max, despite the fact that they're still made by HBO.
I know you're listening, bud. I will never forgive you for making me. Now, for some reason, you've confused my smart TV that when it's off the clock, it'll do art on my wall. Okay. So it's a very smart TV. It's not a dumb TV. It's very smart.
Very smart.
And now, every time I want to download your stupid app, I got to re-download Max because you screwed up and I got to go from purple to blue and I got to resubmit all my login information. Yeah. Even Fart Daddy reached out and he was like, this is untenable. And I was like, I know something we agree on, my man. I'll never understand why they did that. Fox News still licking its wounds from the defamation lawsuit with Dominion Voting Systems, where they just allowed a parade of intellectual chunguses to lie about the election. And then when's the last time anyone in your life ever brought up MSNBC in a conversation?
Well, they brought it up a lot this week because it was all over my Twitter feed because, and it got the highest ratings I think it's had in a year because of the indictment. Well, because of the indictment.
Yeah. Okay. Other than that, I've just never,
no
one in my life has ever.
Oh, but Rachel Maddow's podcast, don't listen to other podcasts, but Rachel Maddow's podcast is like in the top 10 every week.
Is she still on MSNBC or is she, does she,
oh, is she
MSNBC?
Like her own thing now? That's how much I care
the
about
the fact that we're
news.
Having this conversation. I think, you know,
listen, statistically, the American Press Institute put out a study that said 79% of Gen Z and millennials, so you and everyone younger than you,
okay,
get news daily from not cable news.
No. Yeah. Like, I would say that number is probably higher in my estimation. You know,
that's right.
If you're a millennial watching cable news, like, I want to know, like, what's problem?
Yeah,
who hurt
millennials,
you in your
what
life?
Are you doing? Like, why are you? Because I get my news from Twitter and from literal news emails that I get in the morning, like, yeah. That I like read the headlines of, and I'm like, not interesting, boring, okay, what? That's how it works every morning. And then, but it said that of Gen Z's, 44% never look at traditional sources. Millennials, I love this, younger millennials, so not you and Aaron, but 35%
never. I don't know why we need that qualification.
I know. And then older millennials, as a Gen X, and no one even pays attention to us, don't be offended. 31% of older millennials never look at traditional sources. So I just think, because you remember when Ted Turner created CNN?
Uh-huh.
You remember back when he created CNN, he was like, we're going to film a military band playing Near My God to Thee. And it will stay in the archives until the end of the world. And then that will be the last thing that CNN airs, is that military band playing Near My God to Thee. Because that's what they were playing when the Titanic went down.
I love that. I love a little reverse contact, you know, of like the last thing the alien, the first thing is Hitler. Not great. Okay. Last thing, Near My God to Thee. So we can write that wrong historically, you know?
I know. To me, cable news is just overrated because it's not even news. Like there's no, I can't watch that news and then be like, this isn't biased. It's because that's not where the money is found anymore. The money is found in hot takes and crazy opinions and, you know, people like Charlie Kirk telling me, you know, hey, I'm going to speak to this young women's conference and I'm going to tell you that to be a good person, you have to become a woman of value. Well, God tells me I'm a woman of value because I literally was born. So I don't know what you're yelling at me about. That's what I don't like. Any
I just want to put everybody on notice in my life. If you cite Charlie Kirk to me, you are on punch on spot. Okay.
Punch on spot.
You know? I just think ATN with Tom Wamscams now functioning as a pain sponge and almost ruining an election by getting wasabi in someone else's eye, like in absentia. I feel like that's a good, I feel like it's a good metaphor for cable news right now. That said, I feel like it's pretty properly rated because it's so in the trash bin. I feel like we're going to forget as the election cycle kicks up and we all just like have to go back to cable news or whatever, or we just get sucked back in. We're going to think it's a lot worse, but we got to remember right now, this is where it actually should be, just in the trash.
I agree. Absolutely. I agree.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
This episode is brought to you by our amazing sponsor, Olive & June. As a longtime user, like 6 years, and a huge fan of Olive & June, I still can't get over how easy and convenient their manning systems are. Between hosting 2 podcasts, planning a live show, and our latest merch launch, I haven't had much time for like self-care and sitting around at a salon for hours. No time, but I do love having pretty nails, and it's during these busy, hectic times that I'm especially thankful for Olive & June. Their mani and pedi systems come with everything you could possibly need to have salon-worthy nails genuinely at home whenever you want them, even if you only have 5 minutes. I love how Olive & June, they've created products for those of us with a lot on our plates who maybe are not great at doing their nails. Like, I don't have a ton of skill set. And look, they've made it easy. The number of times I've done my nails in a rush as I'm about to run out the door and then end up smudging them, it's super embarrassing. You'd think I'd learn by now, but no more. Olive & June's line of tab press-ons are a life hack I never want to live without. They're so easy to put on and come in different sizes, so you can always find the perfect fit for you. They look so real and they last like 10 or more days, and they're not damaging like gel. I love that I can order them as part of the Manny system with up to 4 different tab sets. It's the perfect time-saving prezi for myself. Visit oliveandjune.com/popcast for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/popcast for 20% off your first system. This episode is brought to you by our amazing sponsor, Aura Frames. I am super excited to share that this brand is not only Knox and Jamie approved, but more importantly, it's Chuck and Jan approved. Aura Frames are Wi-Fi connected frames with unlimited storage, so you can share as many photos as you want from your phone and they just magically appear on the frame. If Chuck and Jan aren't enough of an endorsement, it's also been named the best digital photo frame by Wirecutter. It's such a fun gift for all ages. Do you know what my favorite part of the Aura frame is? I haven't been called over to Chuck and Jan's house even once for like Tech Sunday to like set it up, to fix it. It's truly the perfect set it and forget it gift in the best way possible. I was over to their house for Easter dinner. My niece sent all the adorable photos we had taken of my cutie patootie great nephews to Chuck and Jan's Aura frame. And it was so easy and seamless and fun to have the photos show up before we even left the house. Jan is the most difficult person to buy gifts for. And I was excited to see how much she loves her Aura frame, because I immediately decided to get one for her bedside table for Mother's Day this year. Right now, Aura has a great deal for Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting auraframes.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. That's auraframes.com. Use code PODCAST at checkout to save. Terms and conditions apply. The show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Has everyone's social calendar suddenly picked up, or is it just me? This is that magical time of the year when I can actually enjoy a patio lunch with Jan or just be outside for longer than 10 minutes without immediately regretting every life choice. You know what I mean? Since this beautiful weather only lasts about 5 days in Alabama, it's always tempting to cram in as many social gatherings as possible, for I need to limit myself to indoor-only activities, and it can be easy to ignore my social battery and spread myself too thin. As an extrovert, I tend to thrive around people, and I always thought the more the merrier when it came to social commitments. Therapy has been super helpful in giving me the self-awareness I needed to build a social life that does not drain my battery. Being able to not only recognize my boundaries, but be able to enforce them has been so helpful in creating some balance in my life. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. Since it's entirely online, the convenience truly cannot be beat, and it's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/podcastpod today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/podcastpod.
Okay, let's do Tom Holland. Overrated, underrated, or properly rated? We're talking about him because his television show, The Crowded Room, is out. It's being reviewed. Some people hate it. Most people hate it. Maybe one or two people like it.
Now, I will say, on the Rotten Tomatoes score,
right,
the critic score is very poor. It's
27. It's 27.
Down to 26, I'll be honest.
Okay, not great. Someone watched it and was like, I'm tipping the scale. This sucks.
And then the audience score is 92%. Do you think that's Tom Hollinators that are like going hard?
I do need the Rotten Tomatoes algorithm to come up with like a racist metric to be like, that's what this is about, you know, like the Little Mermaid, like review bombing. They could like clean up the reviews and be like, oh, this is just clearly people who need to have a white mermaid as the Little Mermaid. Right. Or like a fanboy metric, where it's like they're so proud of this person that they're always going to say his stuff is good even when it's like terrible. And that'll get us closer to
And that's hard because I do love Tom Holland the person.
Mm-hmm.
I do think Tom Holland the actor is good. He is a genre actor. He is not a good actor in everything.
Sure.
And he needs to be in things where he can be either super physical because he's like a little like sprite. He can move really fast.
Yeah.
Or he can dance. He's a really good dancer. I would argue his performance of Rihanna's Umbrella is one of the best of all time.
Would you say that in the course of human history, he's one of the top 100 dancers of all time?
100%. Yeah.
Wow. 100%. So we are living in a moment where we have the hottest top 100 woman of all time and dancer of all time.
Again, nobody before 1950 could dance. I haven't seen anything that impressed me, but like I have watched So You Think You Can Dance, and I know how good they are.
No one before 1950 can dance. Like,
not
I just,
as great
I know
as the people after 1950.
Sure.
I stand by that.
You know that's an embarrassing thing to say, but you're doubling down. And I respect it, frankly. I do.
Listen, here's what Alan Sepinwall said about Tom Holland's new show. And Alan Sepinwall, we both really like him as a critic. And mm-hmm. he said, the Crowded Room takes until the sixth of its 10 episodes to acknowledge its actual premise. That's bad, you guys. That's not good.
In terms of making TV, that's not what you want.
And listen, Tom Holland just announced that he's taking a year off of acting because this show broke him as a person.
I wanted to ask you about that because I read that quote because he was like, I like hard work, but the show did break me. I needed a break. So I disappeared to Mexico for a week and had time on a beach and laid low.
That's called a vacation, Tom. That's not called a mental health.
What that is. Yeah. That's what that is. He's like, now I need to take a year off. I just wanted to ask you guys two questions, two math questions. I'll start with the first one.
Okay.
What percentage of the American populace, when they hear about an actor who had a hard time playing make-believe in a story, feels empathetic to them needing to take an entire calendar year off of work? What percentage feels empathetic to that?
It's 1%, and those are other actors.
Okay, Aaron, like, do you have a guess on that number?
I want to say 10%.
Oh.
10%. 10% of just really kind, like Enneagram type people who are just like prone to feel good about it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I had like less than zero, so I think we're all kind of close on that one.
Yeah, we're close.
What percentage since 2015... Do you guys want to guess his average Rotten Tomatoes score on non-Spider-Man or voice acting movie roles?
Okay. Oh, you're taking it onward, aren't you?
I am taking it onward.
I'm going to say it's a
33%?
Yeah.
33.
I'm going to say that. Don't tell her. Just let her guess the number.
Yeah. What do you think the question was? And then what would you like to guess your answer as the question?
The question was, I think that you asked, do we think Tom and Zendaya are still together?
Okay.
What's the percentage? And my percentage is 1,000,000%.
Yeah.
Okay. Wasn't the question.
What was the question?
But I appreciate your answer to the question.
What's the average Rotten Tomatoes score of Tom Holland projects that are not Marvel?
The percentage stands.
Oh,
a million.
Yes.
A million. A score that's not actually on the scale of Rotten Tomatoes.
That's right.
Oh, so she obviously saw Uncharted, The Devil All the Time, and Cherry.
The answer is 51%. 51%.
That's higher than I thought it would be.
It's a little
outlier?
Higher.
What's the outlier?
You know, the weird thing is, once he really got lost in the Spider-Man sauce, you know, that's when it really got bad. But right as he was kind of crescendoing, he was like Pilgrimage is 68%. He's not huge in that. Lost City of Z, he's 86%. And Devil All the Time was actually 64%. Despite I guess technically it was a good movie, but it was not a fun movie. The best part was Robert Pattinson screaming delusions. That was the best part of that.
Here is where Tom Holland finds himself, and it's the same place that Selena Gomez found herself. Mm-hmm. Selena Gomez, who was like, I was in Spring Breakers, a movie you really loved, okay? Right?
No, that resulted in the biggest fight Ashley and I have ever been in our lives after we saw that movie.
Yeah. Oh, okay. I don't know why I always
we left early and we were screaming at each other walking out of the theater.
Okay, good to know. So Selena Gomez had to figure out, what do I do with this face that mm-hmm. always looks 14?
Mm-hmm.
And I think Tom Holland is in the same boat. He's like, what do I do with this face that always looks 14, especially when I stand next to my girlfriend who's 5 inches taller than me?
Yeah, and also looks eternally young. They both just always look young.
They look very tiny, like tiny little humans. And so I think the difficulty is I would argue he has really bad pickers that he has hired to pick for him, because they're doing the cliche thing, which is we have to do something so opposite Spiderman that we have to make him look tough and angry and have PTSD of something that's happened in his life. When in reality, what Selena Gomez, when it finally hit for her, was it's like, no, I'm just going to be in a TV show with Steve Martin and Martin Short, and I'm going to play like just a regular 20 something who's like weird and quirky. And that's what I'm going to do. And I'm going to be a character actress rather than try to be like, I'm going to star in the film and I'm going to be the thing. And I think that's what for Tom Holland is really tough. So I think he's overrated, but it's because of all of the fame surrounding him in regards to Spider-Man and being Zendaya's true love. They love each other.
I think overrated. I think he, like you, kind of like what we're saying, he is feeling compelled to be in certain roles in certain projects that he's actually not suited for. Because we talked a little bit about that. He should be following the Michael J. Fox, just like easy breezy, charismatic, fun, good, benevolent kind of roles. But he's like, I've got to get dark and serial killy. You don't have to do that. You know,
and the tough part when you think about it is who are his contemporaries? Like who are the people that are his age? And it's like Paul Mescal, you're competing with Paul Mescal. You can't. He looks like he lived through World War One.
I feel like he was at the Troubles in Ireland.
Exactly.
You know?
Yeah. Exactly. So you can't compete. And then the other choice is Noah Centineo. You can't compete with that either.
How much does Noah Centineo's people pay you to mention that he's competing with Tom Holland right now? Because that's remarkable.
I get $22 every time I mention this. If I got to keep it up so I can get.
Do you think Noah Centineo is in the top 100 of actors across of humanity?
He is in the top 100 of jawlines in all of history.
I would actually agree with that. I think that's actually true.
Thank you.
Jamie, do you want to do Cinema Side Piece in the box office report?
Yes. Okay. So this weekend was big for the Transformers. Listen, my niece told me this weekend that she loved the new Transformers because it got rid of all the canon of the previous Transformers.
Listen, my son saw it with some friends as well, and he was like, it was fine. It was good to make fun of. That's why I liked it.
Brutal.
I don't know what
that means.
Yeah.
That's brutal. Well, it doesn't matter because Paramount made a ton of money. They made $60 million. So they feel good about that because Transformers is mostly just, you know, people in their basement making little animals come into, I don't know what Transformers are. Like,
are you explaining Transformer fanboys or just Transformers like the
No,
the
I was
ideology?
Really talking about the people who worked on the movie. Like, okay, they probably work from home and they have three monitors that are big.
You put like big blog boy energy on Transformer creators.
You think that's wrong? You think that's incorrect?
I don't know.
Well,
man.
It was the number one movie, but it barely beat Spider-Man : Across the Spider-Verse, which made $55 million, which is actually really impressive for a second week. That's not a huge drop. So, and I saw Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse, and it was excellent. I really loved it. So, third place, The Little Mermaid, has still racking in the money, and then Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3, and then The Boogeyman was number 5. Now, this weekend, we get some competition. So we get some big movies are coming out this weekend. One I know Knox will watch. Don't doubt it. So first we're getting Elemental, which is the new, which you talked about in the June SMK episode that we were not interested in. It follows an unlikely pair, Ember and Wade, in a city where fire, water, land, and air residents live together. How can they do it? It's animated. And then we get The Blackening, which I am the most excited about seven black friends who go away for the weekend only to find themselves trapped in a cabin with a killer who has a vendetta. Then the biggest movie of the weekend coming up is, of course, The Flash. And it has great reviews. Mm-hmm. Listen, I love that the director of The Flash was like, listen, if we do another one, we're definitely bringing Ezra Miller back. And it's like, no, they're going to jail. You can't bring Ezra. They're going to jail. Like, they committed crimes. You can't bring Ezra Miller back. Like,
I don't know if you've seen the news, but you can commit crimes and still do the things you want to do, like run for the presidency or be a movie.
America!
You know?
America, be better, okay? And then the movie that I know that Knox is most excited about this weekend is, of course, starring Chris Hemsworth, Extraction 2, coming to Netflix.
Wait.
I know we
can't
wait.
You want to talk about a real nice Father's Day? A little Extraction 2, some bourbon, maybe some barbecue? I don't know.
Listen, here's the description. After barely surviving the events of the first movie, Rake is back. I forgot his name was Rake.
Honestly, that's the description, but I think it's the first bit of dialogue, too. Like, Rake, you just survived the first movie.
Rake,
how are
what
you
will
here?
You do as this Black Ops mercenary tasked with another deadly mission?
I think I'm going to rescue another kid.
Yeah, well, rescuing the battered family of a ruthless Georgian gangster from the prison where they are being held. God. So, and then we get a documentary on Disney about Stan Lee, which I'm actually looking forward to. Like, I don't really know Stan Lee's, like, comic book history, even though Marvel has tried to, like, shove it down my throat. But I am looking forward to watching that.
Cause I think it's going to be a sad ending. It's going to be a very sad ending.
He's dead. Of course he's sad.
Yeah, that, but it's like, it wasn't a cool way. It was kind of like everything got taken from him, both in the middle of his life and the end of his life. So, yeah.
Well,
so can't wait to pop that one open.
Ruin that weekend.
No, okay. I don't think I did. I think the people in his life ruined that. I just told you about it.
Oh, that's true. That's right. That's
you know what the budget is on Rise of the Animal Transformer Beasts in the basement? It
the
was?
Budget. No, what was the budget?
Do you want to guess?
I would guess $110 million.
$200 million. $200 million.
That's not
and when you make
60 budget.
On your first weekend, that is
oh, that's not good. But here's the problem. Transformers, it will never die. Like, I feel like we've been watching Transformers since Mark Wahlberg was a toddler. Like, we're just never getting rid of this. You know what I mean?
It'll be like Shia LaBeouf can come back. Like, he'll be fully uncanceled and he'll be in the last one. Like, that's how they punctuate it. That's not a pitch. I'm just saying that. Don't get mad at me, okay? I didn't do it. Sorry. Let's do. I wanted to talk about some TV shows too, because, you know, it's easy to talk about movies. It's the long tail on TV shows and like whether they're good or not. It's more difficult to like get to their status. So, some of the shows that came out in the recent couple weeks, based on true story. I think we talked about it in our SMK for June. It's on Peacock. Its aggregate is about 72, and that's across Rotten Tomatoes and Metacritic. I've seen Murders in the Building, like generic version of Murders in the Building, but I haven't watched it yet.
Listen, I've watched the first episode, and I love Chris Messina and Kaley Cuoco so much. Like, I like them, but I haven't been moved by the plot yet. So I
yeah, Richard Roper
getting better.
He said, based on a true story, makes for one of the most frustrating viewing experiences of 2023. So that's not a good review.
No,
Nina
not.
Metz from the Chicago Tribune says, tonally, the 8-episode series teeters between slasher territory and the humor of domestic ennui. Do you think she gets points for saying ennui?
Listen, you're watching TV shows. Calm the F down.
You're like... watching Peacock. Relax, Nina. Okay. FUBAR, the first movie I always see when I open Netflix, it's averaging about a 56 between Rotten Tomatoes and Metacritic. And let me sell it for you. Okay. This stars Arnold Schwarzenegger, Jay Baruchel, David Wallace from The Office, one of the pilots from Top Gun that's not Glenn Powell, and one of the members of Kids in the Hall. Did you ever watch Kids in the Hall on Comedy Central?
Like a couple of episodes.
It's one of them. I don't know why he's in this. I think it's Scott Pfeiffer, but he's in this.
Why is Arnold Schwarzenegger suddenly a thing again? Like, why are we dealing with him all the time now?
I don't know. He's owning all of his like affairs and infidelity, and I guess that makes him likable or something. I don't know. It doesn't.
God, can we just be done with 70 somethings? Can we just?
I think we're good.
I don't want them to die. Both my parents are 70 somethings, but I just don't think either of them should be interviewed on Entertainment Tonight. You know what I mean?
Honestly, the ageist slant you've come across, like can't drive, can't go to stores.
It's you. You did it. You brought your ageist. That's what happens when we surround ourselves with ageist people. We become ageist. That's why you have to
have
a diversity of input into your life.
I feel like Carmine Falcone in The Dark Knight, where I hire the Joker and then the Joker lights all my money on fire. And Alfred's like, you got in bed with somebody you didn't understand completely. And like, that's what you're doing to all old people. You're lighting them on fire.
No,
the idol is 37. And that is with some critics like booing. It's not very good. I don't think it's quite a 37, but it's definitely like not a 50.
Oh, I definitely. Yeah, I agree. It's probably a mid. Like, again, the parts that are good, but they're just ruined by the other parts that Abel is like wanting to show you. And by parts, I mean his Dukachu. You know what I mean?
It's not great. Primo. It's been out for a couple weeks. It's on Amazon Freevee. It's from Shea Serrano and Mike Schur. It's a 93 right now. It's hitting at a 93. So you might want to check that one out. And then High Desert is a 73. It's Patricia Arquette. It's on Apple TV. Some good reviews so far. So just some shows to consider and to think about.
Okay, good to know.
Have you ever heard a song on the radio and felt like it was written about you? That's why I'm so excited to share about our new sponsor, Songfinch. Songfinch lets you create an original radio-quality song inspired by your own life and the people you love. It's completely unique, personal, and lasts forever. Whether your song is for Mother's Day, Father's Day, an upcoming graduation or wedding, or just to show a loved one how much you care, start your song now to lock in a top Songfinch artist. I'm on their website right now, and I'm about to create my very first song. They've made it so easy. When you go to songfinch.com, /podcast, all you have to do is click the big orange button that says start your song. In order to make the songs entirely original and personalized, they ask questions like, who are you creating this song for and what's your inspiration? You get to pick the artist who creates the song for you, or you can have Songfinch help you by selecting between genres, vocal styles, vibe, and tempo. You can get as detailed and personalized as you like, but the process couldn't be easier for a songwriting novice like myself. For a limited time, Songfinch is letting our listeners upload their song to Spotify for free, so you and the lucky person you gift it to can listen to it anytime, anywhere. Go to songfinch.com/podcast and start your song. After you purchase, you'll be prompted to add Spotify streaming for your original song for free, a $50 value. Again, our URL is songfinch.com/podcast. Don't forget to share your song with us too, songfinch.com/podcast.
With our live shows coming up in June, I've obviously started doing a little shopping. It's always so fun to look for live show outfits and accessories and go through my travel checklist to see what might need a refresh. I don't need much of an excuse to get myself a prezi, but one of the things I have on my list that I need to get before the new show is a new sun top from Pear Eyewear. Wearing my Pear Eyewear eyeglasses on travel days is probably one of my favorite life hacks, especially if you have an early morning flight. Who wants to wake up and have to deal with contacts before you have to get on a plane? Throwing on my glasses and then adding the sun top when I need them is just so much more convenient. I think the brushed rose sun top might be the perfect one to add to my collection. Pear sun top frames start at just $30 and the prescription glasses start at only $60. Don't forget that you can save even more by using pre-tax FSA and HSA dollars, and they always have free standard shipping and a flexible 30-day return policy. One pair, infinite possibilities. Go to PairEyewear.com and use code POP for 15% off your first pair. And support the show by mentioning that the podcast sent you in your post-checkout survey. That's PairEyewear.com, code POP.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
All right, Jamie, let's wrap up here with what's the word. So The Chosen, the darling of the non-networked or streamers, The Chosen is now going to the CW. Aaron, this is a perfect time to loop you back in and keep you from working.
That's right.
Did you see this news? And if so, how did you feel?
I did see this news. I'm very excited. The CW has a long and storied history of fine television programming, and I am thrilled that The Chosen will be joining their roster.
I was going to say,
this is the spin
somebody...
I wanted to hear.
Listen,
this is what I'm going to
be honest
about.
With you. If the CW had a muse, it's Aaron.
Oh my gosh! What name a bad show on the CW? Name one.
Can't do it.
No, because you know what? The CW knows what it's making.
You're exactly right.
And it's
right.
Like, look, this is Riverdale. Enjoy. This is Vampire Diaries. Enjoy. Like, they know what they're trying to do.
Exactly. Yeah. They know their business.
I love it.
So what did you think when the CW's president of entertainment said The Chosen is based on the biggest IP of all time?
Listen, he's not wrong.
That is the best take I've ever heard, because I immediately started to push back on it. And I even looked up, like, do you guys want to guess, like, any of the most lucrative IPs of all time? The Bible and Jesus and God is not included in this. But of the rest of them, do you have any idea? Can you, like, name any on this giant list?
Batman.
It has to be Spider-Man. We've done, like, 50 Spider-Mans.
That's right. Spider-Man is more profitable than Batman. Yes. So we'll say Aaron 1, Jamie 0.
No. Yeah. I got one, though, right?
You did, but not higher than
Marvel.
Aaron.
Marvel.
No, Marvel's not just... No, you gotta, like say a person.
No, you can. It's on the board. So Aaron's on the board again.
She already said Spider-Man.
Too bad. It's,
I know,
actually,
that's different. That's different.
Technically different.
Superman.
Aaron wins round two.
Ooh, sad for you.
And I'm not trying to be rude, but Superman's not even on the board. Not even on the board.
Okay, IP. Who made... It's gotta be something that is also made into, like, a TV... So Game of Thrones?
Okay, it's first to three, and you're at 2-0, and your guess did not get on the board again.
Okay.
So if Aaron just lands on the board, she wins.
I'm going Sesame Street.
Aaron.
Is that not a good
talk
one?
About somebody who flails out at the end.
I was
Aaron.
I was
so
kidding.
Just so I understand.
Blippi, but just, I couldn't remember. remember what Blippi was.
Blippi?
What the f- is Blippi?
Blippi's a big deal.
Wait, is this TV and movies only adaptation? I mean, because like Barbie is like worth a lot, but she hasn't had a lot of stuff going on.
Hold on.
Oh, Disney
hold on.
Princesses. Disney princesses.
We're not moving on from the fact that in terms of the most lucrative IP, Aaron looked at this at the landscape and was like, Sesame Street.
No, Elmo has made bank.
Don't you remember when people used to punch each other?
You know how much we talk about Bert and Ernie? And like, are they roommates? Are they lovers?
It's not enough bank to land on this list. So okay. You're both off the list. So
have
still
we named
2-0.
The number one?
No, you have not. And I doubt you will.
Oh, because it's got to be
Harry
something.
Potter.
Mario Brothers.
Let's see. Aaron takes. No, I'm sorry. Jamie's back on the board. Mario.
No.
Just edges out Harry Potter, so it's 2-1.
Seriously?
Yeah.
Stupid. Star Wars.
Oh, that's what I thought you were going to guess.
Oh,
when
yeah.
You, when you, instead of saying Sesame Street or Blippi or whatever that means.
I forget about Blippi. I don't know what Blippi
is. I don't even know what Blippi is. I don't know how to spell that.
That's like a kid's show. I thought it was like maybe like a sleeper.
Is it like Clippy from Microsoft? But
no.
It's like a different version
no,
of that?
No, Blippi is different.
Blippi.
Jamie, has... don't cheat, Jamie. Don't cheat.
No, but I want to know. I want to do it. Oh, Blippi with an I. Blippi with an I. It has had 8 seasons. Why does he sometimes wear only one glass? Like in
all
glasses.
Right. Aaron has the 5th highest grossing IP of all time. So, Jamie, you have to land in the top 4 to continue the round.
Of all IP.
Mm-hmm.
So, DC, is that like one of them?
Is that an official guess? Or are you
yes.
just like...
Yeah. No, I'll say it's an official guess.
It is not. It is not. DC is not on the board. So Aaron honestly routed you, and I feel
I
like she guessed.
She routed me with Sesame Street.
My theory, Aaron, you don't have to answer this. I think she guessed Sesame Street just to prolong the torture. I think she's like, I just want to keep doing this.
Number one,
Pokemon. Number one, 92 billion.
Pikachu and Dookachu.
And then Hello Kitty, and then Winnie the Pooh, Mickey
Hello
Mouse
Kitty.
And Friends, and then Star
about,
Wars.
I forget about
Hello Diglett.
Kitty.
Yeah, Diglett.
Yep. Diglets sell really well. So, but yeah, so the CW is, I'm sorry, the Chosen is going to the CW. Jamie, this made me think of like other shows that maybe like should have been on a different network. Cause I like aesthetically, I don't look at the Chosen and be like, that's a perfect fit for the CW, you know?
No, I
are there other versions like that?
Although there are hot people on the Chosen. So I am looking forward to that. I picked 3 of shows I really loved that I wish had been on different networks because they would have had a longer life. First, I would say Firefly. Joss Whedon's show, Space Western, perfect for Paramount Plus. If you want to have like a little Yellowstone, but in
okay.
space.
Okay, we'll cross over. I like
excellent.
That.
Timeless on NBC. I freaking loved that show. It was not suited for NBC. It should have been on Netflix so we could have had more nudity and language. And then finally, Living Single should have been on NBC proper since Warren Littlefield stole it and made it into a show called Friends. So,
oh, wow. Okay.
So that's what, because one time Warren Littlefield was asked when he was running NBC, he was asked, is there any new show this year that's come out that you wish was on NBC? And he said Living Single. And then the next year, 6 friends who live in New York who are just trying to make their way, but they're all white instead of black. Isn't that
Man,
a coincidence?
That's crazy. Anyway. I was hoping you would come up with some shows that people have actually seen before, but I can come up with some.
How
that people
dare
seen.
You?
I thought if we could do some trades, I would want What We Do in the Shadows to be on C-SPAN so more people could actually watch it than we'll currently watch.
Freaking love. Freaking love. Roasted. Listen, I heard the guy, you know, the guy that directs or the showrunner for The Night Agent, a show I have not seen on Netflix, but is hugely successful.
I've watched it's freaking awesome in a midway. You know,
oh, okay.
it's
got
awesome
it, got it.
Mid TV.
Right. Which I feel like could be the tagline of Netflix right now.
That's kind of my taste sweet spot right now, to be honest with you.
That's well, of course. But he said he was like, we figured out that like 67 million people have watched all the episodes of The Night Agent. He said, do I get any kind of like bonus for that? No, there is no pay at all. He said, I'll get a bonus for season 2. That's it. And I did think, well, the writers should be on strike. That's garbage.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you signed the deal. So like you knew, but it's a bad system, bad arrangement right now. I thought The Walking Dead on HBO, I feel like it would have been a lot better. You know, I think it gives them a little bit more leeway. It might have spared them some of the storytelling missteps.
That's right. And I don't think they would have had as many episodes and they would have given longer time between seasons.
That's a great point. That's a great point. Golden Girls on Cinemax. Like if they want to get it in, let's let them get it in on Cinemax.
I'd love it for them to get it in.
You know what I mean?
Kidding? Yeah.
And then I had this is the big trade. SBTB, The College Years. Move that from NBC.
A show everyone has seen, just like what we do.
100%. 100%. Let's move that from NBC to Fox. Okay. And then now I've just created a whole viewing block because we start with 90210, right? They're all in high school. Yes. And then where do they go? Okay. Brenda and Jenny Garth, they all go to the same college that SBTB is at. I think it's just Cal with one of the Golic brothers. And then after they graduate college, where do they go after that, Jamie?
They go to Melrose Place.
They go to freaking Melrose Place. God, and that's just Melrose a whole viewing Place. Block. Okay.
That's
just print
that's
money.
Actually a beautiful, you've done a beautiful thing.
Thank
that's
you.
Impressive.
Thank you. Just print that money. Okay. Well, that's our conversation on The More You Know. As always, if you have thoughts and opinions on our thoughts and opinions, please let us know. Noxgmail.com/509. All right, Jamie, you want to do some lights?
Okay. Before we get into the lights, I do want to just say that we got a tweet this week from Tim, who is Caniac45, who said, "I have always thought, all right, Jamie, want to do some lights, huh? Let's do some lights," was the same pre-recorded clip until today.
That,
we have never
that's hilarious
pre-recorded
to me.
It is weird like that we would be like, oh, just grab that stock audio out of our file. We've recorded it live every time that we've ever done it.
Now, Tim, would that be more efficient? Yes. That would that be smarter? Of course. Would we ever do that? Probably not. So I think from now on, you have to be like hostage style and you have to like hold up a newspaper and say the date. And be like, let's do some lights.
Listen,
so
I'm most
just,
well, I'm most disturbed by Tim thinking that when I gasp, he thinks I'm saying, huh?
What?
Because he says, you say, Jamie, want to do slides? And I go, let's do some lights. He thinks I'm saying, huh?
It does kind of sound like, huh? It does now that he said that.
But
I'll
I think of
huh
is like, huh?
Like you're confused?
Can huh be positive? Like, is that huh? Or is that?
I think so. I don't know. Like, hey, there's a tornado warning. Huh. Now I'm dead because of evidently.
That's exactly right. You got it
this
right.
This clunky
time.
Kind of language makes
no,
me
you
think
got
I
it
should
right.
be in danger.
I'm so glad you're learning. That's so
absurd.
Good.
Absurd. Okay, what's your red light this week?
It's time for rapid red lights because I have a lot of feelings about a lot of things. Okay, up first, rapid red light to Taylor announcing her breakup with Maddie Healy 1 hour after we recorded last Wednesday's episode, which deprived me of my victory lap that I had earned by predicting on May 15th that they would break up the first week of June. Next time, do better and work better with my schedule. Also, maybe don't date a racist, anti-Semitic misogynist. Okay. Second rapid red light, golf getting into bed with terrorism. Now, I recognize that this does feel like a natural progression of this sport, but do y'all remember 9/11? I guess not. Okay. Not cool. Not cool. Also, a tweet, red light to this tweet, Caleb Park, who's a journalist. That's what his bio on Twitter says. He wrote this week, first, it's Trump. Next, it's you. Listen, and my reply to that tweet was, it is true. My bathroom does hold a lot of secrets, okay? But they only break the laws of self-control and personal finance, okay? So it's not necessarily going to be me. Do you know what I mean? Also, rapid red light to the podcast listeners who came for me this week. First up are the parents of fraternal twins. Listen, don't be mad at me that your pregnancy was more interesting than the outcome. Okay, your kids are great, but they're not as cool as identical twins. It just is what it is. Michael Harriet, he tweeted, I love him. He tweeted, people who buy store-bought pre-cut watermelon chunks do not have the Holy Ghost. That was so hurtful. Listen, I cannot be expected, Michael, to shred cheese and cut fruit. I have but one wild and precious life to live. I cannot cut these things myself. And then to the woman who, after listening to the podcast for the first time, DM'd me to ask me, quote, what's the point of the podcast?
Wow.
Well, Claire, what's the point of your husband? Because based on your Instagram, it seems your husband's really into golf shirts and terrorism. Why don't you explain that? Okay.
Guys, right between the eyes, Claire. Right between the eyes,
listen,
on that one. What
as
is the
a
point?
Reminder, as a reminder, the podcast is a podcast where no one will purposely teach you anything. No one will try to make you a better person. And no one is or was murdered in order for this show to exist. We thank you for listening. Those are my rapid red lights.
My red light this week is Live Nation. I don't know how Live Nation factors into the concert going ticketing process. I don't know
they
how
they own what, Ticketmaster.
They own Ticketmaster. Okay.
Yeah. Yes.
It just felt like it was all kind of interlaced. The venue, like I said, was incredible. The performance was incredible. I don't think this had anything to do with Live Nation, but the efficiency of the event of like getting you there, getting you in and getting you out was the most top notch, high level thing I've ever been a part of. It was so well done. But the problem is, Jamie, we bought two margaritas to take to the show and we paid $50 for that privilege.
Shh. shite. What?
Because I don't normally flinch at the price, not because we're well-to-do, just because I will take it away from the stand and not make it like a fuss and then be like, oh my gosh, what? But like, I gasped when she said $50 because I was like, what did I order? And then we paid $15 for a can of Liquid Death water. Have you ever had Liquid Death water?
No, but I know the children love the Liquid Death.
I don't understand this. I thought it was some kind of alcoholic seltzer. It's not. It's just lime flavored water. And I don't know. I don't understand the branding because Liquid Death doesn't make sense because it is just water. I feel like it would be like naming your toilet paper butthole napalm. I guess it's ironic, but to what extent? Like, are we doing that? But the food was just so exorbitant. And you know, look, I know you've got us there captive. We're going to pay a little more, but this just felt like hydration extortion, libation extortion. I watched the guy, we waited in line for 28 minutes for food. And I watched the guy take like two little, you know, platter things of like what's obviously McDonald's hamburgers and like microwave french fries. And he was walking away and someone bumped into him and he dumped both platters on the ground and he knelt down and he picked both up and scooped them back up into the platters.
He
went on about his way because he said, I heard him. He said, I waited 50 minutes for that. And he's going to eat those because they cost $1.3 million. And he invested most of his day into getting those. So everything other than the food and the drink cost was amazing. But my goodness, like, what are we doing here? Okay, what's your green light this week?
Okay, my green light this week. Look, let me set the table. I do not normally jump on mainstream bandwagons of book reading, especially in genres that I love, that I know that a lot of mainstream folks don't regularly read, like fantasy and romance. An example of this would be Aragon. A lot of people thought Aragon was a good book. And if you read a lot of fantasy, you know that it is not. So do not at me if you thought Aragon was good unless you have read 17 other series of fantasy books. Now, however, I saw this book all over TikTok in April. Then I saw your lovely wife, Ashley, recommend it. So I messaged her. I was like, hey, this is really good. She was like, yes. And so, yes, I have finally read Fourth Wing by Rebecca Yarros. And it is very, very good. This book is if Game of Thrones and Divergent and Twilight had a weird threesome baby. Okay. This world includes four quadrants of training you can go into as a young adult in this world. The story centers on Violet, who wants to be a scribe, but her mother, the general, has ordered her to become a dragon rider. So she studies at a war college to become just that. And the only way out of this college is you either graduate or die. It's very much like theater school. It has detailed and vibrant adventure, excellent world building. It has tension. One of my favorite parts is folks developing their signature powers, which I loved. Now, to be clear, does it have a couple of pretty predictable tropes? I knew on page 29 what the romance situation was going to be, like immediately. I was like, oh, she going to stoop that. I do know that. And man, she stoops that hard, by the way. Those are some open door scenes. So just a heads up. And there's also a line of dialogue. This is not a spoiler, but Knox, if I say this line of dialogue to you, what do you think is going to happen? One quick sentence. Here you go. A professor says the only way you'd ever be near him is if you're in the veil, which you won't be because you'd be incinerated before you ever got into the gorge.
Oh, the gorge, that just feel like an open door scene as well.
That's right. So that's what Gen Z calls foreshadowing, because someone is going to go to the veil and someone is going to meet that person. So listen, this is a frothy summer read that, by the way, you can only get on ebook or audiobook because the physical copies are back ordered through July. Plus, gosh, the best part of this book is there is no chosen one. I am over the fantasy vibes of having a chosen one. So if you're like, God, I just really don't want there to be a chosen one, well, I have the book for you. It's this one. Also, just as a bonus green light, if you like this book and you're like, I want other great fantasy books to read that are actually amazing, not just popular, I'm going to highly recommend the Gail Carriger Parasol Protectorate series. It's complete. That's the bonus. You don't have to wait, because now I've got to freaking wait on this sequel to Fourth Wing in November. I got to wait this whole time. It makes me feel like Twilight when I discovered Twilight. But Gail Carriger's book, it's funny. It's smart. The characters are complex. The series is finished. The first book is soulless. It's about Alexia Terabody. It's set in Victorian England. There are vampires, werewolves, and more. It is excellent. Okay, what's your green light?
My green light, I've got two this week. The first one is a very light, very breezy documentary on Amazon called Shiny Happy People, I don't remember what the colon is. It's like Duggar Family Secrets or Duggar Family Scandal or something. I'm kidding. It's not light and breezy. It's a four-episode docuseries basically. And it's directed by Julia Willoughby Nason and Olivia Crist, who I think they were each involved with the Lula Rich documentaries, the Murdaugh Murders documentaries.
Yes.
But they are deep diving Jim Bob and Michelle Duggar from the TLC series 19 Kids and Counting. And it obviously covers revelations of the oldest son's crimes as a sex offender. But more interestingly, kind of, at least to me, it really zooms backwards and highlights the Christian organization that kind of helped indoctrinate not only the Duggars but all their children, which is the IBLP, the Institute of Basic Life Principles. And they talk to former members of the Institute and basically cover allegations that it's a cult obsessed with male authoritarian control. I know that kind of, especially that last part, sounds kind of fantastical. But if you're not from the South and you're not from a certain generation, I can't emphasize enough how much a lot of this ideology was transferred into the mainstream, not overtly like that, like there are institutes and basic life principles, but just certain things that you could see reflected on the Duggars. And that was just normal stuff if you went to church or certain kinds of church. So this was, I don't know, kind of like retrospectively contextualizing for us, you know, and like our experience with church. But also, I think a lot of ways, maybe for me, I didn't really keep up with the Duggars, so kind of how it all fizzled, I didn't really know. So this was helpful and informative to me for seeing kind of what happened in the wake of all the terrible stuff. So I highly recommend that.
And I definitely think there's a resurgence of Bill Gothard and the system that they grew up in. Like, you're seeing some of that, like, women, don't worry about becoming a surgeon.
Yeah.
Just be a mom.
And it's let's control the world by having lots of kids in homeschool. And kind of indoctrinate into very simple roles.
Which you can be a mom and a surgeon, or you can just be a mom, or you could just be a surgeon. Like, it's okay.
Yeah, yeah. So I recommend everybody checking that out. And then I'm going to do a book, but I'm specifically saying the audiobook. And this is Thank You for Listening by Julia Whelan. I say the audiobook because you can get the book, and that's fine. But you need to listen to the audiobook experience because the synopsis is based around the character Sewanee Chester, and she is a audiobook narrator in the book. And basically, she's been an actress, but that's behind her. And now she's super successful as an audiobook narrator. And then she's in Las Vegas. She meets this guy. They have a one-night deal. And then will it ever continue? Blah, blah, blah. I know that doesn't sound very interesting or like mind-blowing as like a setup, but the way Julia Whelan, who herself is a super famous audiobook reader. She read Addie LaRue, Carrie Soto's Back, Book Lovers, I Have Some Questions, basically any significant book. If you've listened to it, you've probably listened to her. But the way she uses the idea of her own life and her own job as an audiobook narrator and puts that into the story, she does all the voices of all the characters, which in and of itself is ridiculous, but also like the characters in the story also do different voices. So it's like voiceception where she's doing and all very different voices. And I know that sounds confusing, but it's not in the audiobook experience. But there's certain parts where you probably know where the story is going. Maybe you don't. But I think this, more than anything, this is like one of the most masterclass versions of an audio production performance I've ever listened to in my life. So I think if you just like a really, it's probably, I wouldn't call it a romance, but it borders on romance-y. But I think more than a genre, this is just the next level, the next wave of like what great audiobooks sound like. This is that book, Julia Whelan. Thank you for listening. I just highly recommend checking it out.
You know, I love Julia Whelan. Like, the only time I've ever enjoyed a fiction audiobook is when she has read it. Like, that's been one of my favorites, is because she's so good at it. And did you know, like, I had read about her and I was like, how did she get into this? And she was a child actor. She was the TV show Once and Again with Sally Field. And yeah, I love that.
I want to say she was on Zoe 101 or something. So she was on some stuff. And you can see, and she really talks about this at the end, like in the postscript. But this was kind of after her life, but kind of not after her life too. So it's very personal. You can tell it's very detailed in a way that you know there's a lot of personal and anecdotal investment in this. So I would I would even say don't read it. Just if you're going to be with us, make sure you listen to it. That's it's worth so much of the time and the process of getting into audiobooks. Yeah. Okay, well, that's going to do it for this episode of the podcast. Before you go, remember, anytime you do any shopping on Amazon, make sure you go to amazon.com/shop/thepodcastfirst. So your purchases are your affiliate link. Your favorite item purchase using that link this week was, I should probably pre-record that, and we should just use the same one. If we're going to pre-record something, that's the one.
He does that fresh every time.
God.
Yeah, you're doing great. I'm doing great. Fast, though. That's what it is. You're going so fast.
I just need to go like hyperspeed. Best item purchase using the link this week. Jamie, this is Tom and Jerry : just the movie, the animated.
The movie. Listen, this has 12,000 global ratings and it's 4.5 stars. But don't worry, there are people who did not like this movie, and that includes just Gene. And Gene wrote, "One star breaks my heart that the respect Tom and Jerry should have received was disappointing. Poor overacting, animation not up to today's technology,
what?
Bad storyline, just bad. Even the grunts from Tom and Jerry sounded off. Wait until the movie is on Netflix so you can watch the first 20 minutes for free and then hit dislike and move on."
I think we should use that into CinemaSciPiece. Are there grunts that don't line up with the character?
Ew,
you know, we should do that.
I don't like that. All right, you guys, don't forget, you can get our brand new 10 years of the podcast merch, an embroidered sweatshirt, t-shirt, enamel pin, and sticker pack available for pre-sale today through Friday, July 7th. July 7th is the deadline. We will not be selling it after July 7th. So make sure you go to knoxandjamie.com/live to snag some merch. I'm Jamie Golden. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Jamie B. Golden.
I'm Knox McCoy. You can find me on the socials at Knox McCoy. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time.
Bye, guys.